This is the moment of the year.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
No way! What's up?
We're getting football back.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And I'm not talking about quarterback competitions. I'm talking about the freaking New York Jets.
Yeah, man, I'm loving my time here. I mean, I've just embraced everything New York.
You're the mayor of New York.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, executive producer of Hard Knocks, Ken Rogers. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That is correct. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network was on in hour number two. In hour number one, Jay Billis of ESPN talked about all the college realignment and all the hand-wringing about it and everything going on. If you missed the first 2 hours of this program, we re-air after this hour on the Roku channel, on channel 210. We re-air every day after our 12 to 3 Eastern live period, and then we come back Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and so on and so forth. We say hello to our Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Our podcast listeners, we say hello to you whenever you darn well please. It's your God-given American right to listen to our show all 3 hours through the Cumulus Podcast Network, where you get every single podcast in your life, include us. Hit us with the RSS feed subscription, as well as click that subscribe button and follow button on our Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and X pages, as well as our YouTube page. I'm sorry, Chris. Our Twitter page.
Twitter page.
Tweet at us at Rich Eisen Show. Does that make you feel better?
Yes.
This hour, we've got Overreaction Monday. We also, this show is all about Hard Knocks. From
love it.
Nate Diaz to Tim Anderson. Or Jake Paul
and Jose Ramirez.
To Jose Ramirez to the actual program Hard Knocks, which debuts Tuesday night, 10 Eastern on HBO, and you can watch it on Max as well right here on the Roku platform. A great friend, and I love working with this man at NFL Films. He does so much for that great outfit and production company. And he's here as the executive producer of Hard Knocks, our friend Ken Rogers back here on the program. How are you doing, Ken?
I'm doing great. How's my favorite Jets fan?
Did you say that to Mike Greenberg the other day?
I did not.
Hold on a second.
I don't get an invite there. I'm a Rich Eisen guy.
Attaboy.
What a time to be a Jets fan.
I'll tell you what. I was always in on them doing it. I thought they should have done it from the very beginning. How much was the arm twisted of the Jets?
Yeah, listen, you know, we have a relationship with these teams that exists on a daily basis. So, you know, it wasn't asking some girl to the prom that you've never asked before. You know, we talk about doing shows and wires and all kinds of access with them. And I've been thinking about, you know, this the storyline that people don't want to do the show. And I really do relate it to, let's say, Thursday Night Football or playing a game in Europe or having to travel all the way across the country. If you ask a coach, do you want to do that? The answer is no, I don't want to do that. I want to play home at 1 o'clock. I don't care if fans are there. Turn the TV cameras off. You know, they want to concentrate just on football. But when they're selected to play on Thursday night or they're, you know, selected to play overseas, they're going to try to win the game. You know, they're going to cooperate, participate, and embrace it. And I think that's what the Jets have done. It's really what every team has done in the past, is said, you know, all things being considered, we don't even want fans to watch us. We want to, you know, just be by ourselves. That's just the way coaches are. But they've all embraced it, and the Jets have too.
So I've thought a lot about this too, Ken, because, you know, I adore you and Ross Kettover and everybody there at NFL Films, and Steve Sable, you know, wrote the foreword to my book that sold about 5 copies. It had nothing to do with him. But, you know, I love NFL Films, and I know how hard you and all the men and women there who keep the Sable flame alive work hard and are not at all intrusive. You know, it's not like, you know, if the coach or the player is there that you're forcing your way in, you're like, you're literally elbowing your way in. But there is a general sense that if somebody does Hard Knocks, something's going to get out or you're going to reveal something. Is there any part of that process you can layout on the floor or this microphone or this platform for the listeners and viewers of this show how this works? Ken?
Listen, you know them. You know the players. You know the coaches. There is a paranoia about that, and that's why we let the coaches review the show and make sure, you know, secrets don't get out. The best example is we once had a play in the background running during a practice, and someone yelled out refrigerator in the background. And we had no idea that it was even said, but the team picked up on, hey, you got to get rid of that. We said, get rid of what? The person in the background saying refrigerator, because that's our goal line plunge play named after the fridge. And we were like, what? There's a sure enough, you play it over and you say, oh, yeah, someone's in the background saying refrigerator. That would have been a competitive balance issue that we would have been part of that we don't want to. So we definitely go over that. And in terms of the I give a lot of credit to all our cinematographers and our directors out there. We're we're not as big a crew as you think, and we capture a lot, 400 hours per week. And that's plenty. We don't have to there's 90 players. We can't capture everything.
Right.
But we don't look to capture everything. We look to capture the essence of camp, the essence of everybody. So a lot of people feel like, oh, my gosh, if I have to go call my wife about, you know, her doctor's appointment, Hard Knocks is going to be listening to me in the hallway. No, that's not the case. Like that's going to be something you're going to be able to do. But when it comes to the job, this is a workplace drama. We're going to be all around. We're going to watch you doing your job.
And, but what about the pushback from you on the content front, where a coach or a player might be a little bit too protective or paranoid, and you're like, come on. Like, because, again, that's what's beautiful about this show is we feel like we're a fly on the wall. And that we are behind the scenes. What can you share on any conversations you have on that front to make sure this isn't coming across in many people's minds as a whitewash or a greenwash, to use the Jets as an example here? Ken?
Jetwash, greenwash.
No, that's right.
It's never been the case for years now, really more than a decade. I think the Jets probably helped change that in that the teams now know what the show is. They know that if there's, you know, a rookie singing, or they know if someone gets yelled at in a meeting, or if there's a conversation between the quarterbacks out on the field, like those things are going to make the show. They know what they're signing up for or what they're selected for, as were the case. So the team kind of gets it, and you'd be amazed at how much the young players get it. It makes me feel old, but, you know, Hard Knocks has been on the air 20 years now, 21 years.
Yeah.
They've all grown up watching the show. I mean, if you think back to the last Jets, that was 13 years ago. Well, you know, most of these kids were probably 8, 9, you know, playing Pop Warner, watching Hard Knocks, and they've watched it ever since. In a world of social media, they're not freaked out by the cameras. They don't care about putting their world and their life out there. They are completely comfortable and themselves, which makes the show even better. So we don't really have to fight that fight anymore.
Hard Knocks executive producer Ken Rogers here on the Rich Eisen Show. The history of Hard Knocks, again, I do remember the first time I saw a player get cut with the cameras watching. I was kind of jaw on the floor, like, wow, that's the way this happens. Turk comes to knock on the door, get your playbook. Is it true the Jets didn't want to show that stuff? They say that you're not showing any player getting cut. Ken, is that true?
We haven't even picked our players, so I know that's been reported, but that's not something we've gotten to in the show yet.
Okay.
So we're still working with the Jets. I mean, I think the cool thing about Hard Knocks is that the show has actually made the cuts more humane. You know, there was a point where people started saying, wow, this is a rough business. But if you notice in recent years, the players are coming in and they're saying, listen, thank you for treating me like a man. Thank you for what you've taught me. Thank you for being honest with me. You know, they don't really have the cold Turk knocking on your door, give me your playbook, we're putting you on a plane thing anymore. You know, I think the perception was, wow, this is a rough business. And to the NFL's credit, they changed the process and said, you know what, we need to have somebody you know, from player personnel, talk to the player, make sure they're okay mentally, make sure they're okay physically, make sure they're not just getting kicked out. And all that happens now, I think, because, you know, the show showed the truth. And now when we show cuts, it's certainly not a positive moment, but it's an extremely respectful moment. And I can't think of a recent coach or GM or anyone who's come off looking bad during a cut. They're doing their job.
Ken Rogers of NFL Films, executive producer of Hard Knocks here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I'm assuming, I mean, what's the number of microphones you put on Aaron Rodgers in his career, right? I mean, so it has to be in the upper, you know, hundreds of times that you've done that. I know he mentioned shoving it down the Jets' throat when he mentioned Hard Knocks, but is everything cool? Because obviously he's got to provide access for this thing to work, Ken.
Everything's right? Beyond cool.
Great.
He's been beyond cool. He is beyond cool, period. I think people are going to see, even if you really have followed his career, people are going to see a different Aaron Rodgers. I think you saw that, during the Hall of Fame game, just from the sideline, how he was talking about how much fun he's having. We put a clip out earlier last week where he is in a huddle and he's talking to the quarterbacks and saying, you know, you got to appreciate it because you'll be old and gray and not have many years left. And I think he's in that spot where he understands it's a privilege to play the game. He enjoys his teammates. He enjoys his team, and he's really in a great spot. And it shows on the first episode of Hard Knocks. I think you'll see an Aaron that everyone is going to be fascinated by.
I saw that clip too, where he also said, "Hey, sit with somebody you don't know. You know, be a leader at lunch." Like, and I saw that clip, and it was great. No, you know, it's also a privilege. Sometimes you get privileges being on Hard Knocks, and you're being Aaron Rodgers. I couldn't help but notice Liev Schreiber was at the actual Jets practice, and I'm just wondering, you know, if you helped make that wish come true for Aaron.
Someone like Aaron Rodgers comes out publicly and says the thing they like about Hard Knocks is the narrator.
Yes.
And the narrator happens to be a Jets fan and happens to live in New York. The production helped a little bit. It certainly helps. Yeah. Certainly helps that he wanted to go meet Aaron. And I think it's one of the highlights of the show. It'll be in the show of Liev meeting Aaron. And I think everyone's going to, like I said, love Aaron. And I think everyone will love Liev, too. It's a great scene. And it's one among many great scenes, I think, this week.
All right. What else can we expect on the Tuesday premiere? What else? What other breadcrumbs you're willing to drop right now, Ken?
Hey, listen, Aaron Rodgers will be on the show. How's that as a scoop?
That's a good one. Okay, that's a good one. All right, you want to keep everything else close to the vest? I understand. Okay.
I can give you that. Look, you know, there's a lot of big stars on this team, and we're going to take our time to get through all of them. There's definitely some surprises in terms of what happens at camp and some things that everyone sort of knows about. You know, everyone knows that Sauce and Garrett Wilson, and, you know, we're practicing hard against each other. We're going to show that. That's going to be an exciting thing for anyone who loves great football. It's going to love that segment.
Dalvin Cook's visit as well?
Dalvin Cook's visit is still to be determined. We're kind of in the ninth hour here, maybe 11th hour of putting the show together, and it doesn't seem like anything's going to come of that right now. Certainly hasn't yet, and so that story is sort of incomplete right now, I guess. We're sort of standing by.
Got you on that. And then last one for you, another reason why people sometimes push back at NFL Films, you know, being embedded in coverage is because they don't want to make it seem like they're searching for the spotlight. Again, I, you know, take the approach because I know you guys and I know that you are, again, 1,000% documentarians first, right? And also making sure that everyone knows that they're comfortable being mic'd up and that you're not the enemy. But you are providing everyone insight, and that's why I love it. But some people might think that, hey, I did an NFL Films thing and I'm seeking the spotlight, and that seems to be the issue with season 2 of Quarterback right now. I don't know if that's your bailiwick as well. I'm just assuming. Where what is your where are you on that front right now. It seems like some quarterbacks just say it's not the right time for me or anything like that on that remarkable series, by the way, on Netflix.
Remarkable. I mean, it seems like it. I will admit I don't have I've been so wrapped up in Hard Knocks, I don't know what the status is of the quarterbacks for season two. I do know that, you know, when people push back, you know, we have the best argument you can have, which is, well, Patrick Mahomes did it and he won the Super Bowl, so what are you worried about? You know, like I think
it's the ultimate.
I think you can you can use it or not use it how you want. It reminds me of the story when Steve Sable first went to shoot a training camp. It wasn't Hard Knocks. It was 1968.
Mm-hmm.
It was with Vince Lombardi. And he only had film for a day, so he shot Packers camp, you know, for one of our highlight films, doing a film on Vince Lombardi. And at the end of the day, Vince Lombardi said, "Steve, I want you to come back tomorrow." And Steve said, I can't. I shot all the film today. You know, I'm heading back." And Vince said, "My team practiced harder today than they have all camp because that camera was running."
Huh.
"I want you back tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow." And, of course, what's Steve going to say? "Okay, I'll be there." So the next day he came and just acted like he was filming with no film in the camera.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Absolutely. It's the truth. Just so Vince Lombardi could get his team a little more cognizant that eyes are watching. You know what? People are going to watch this, and are you going to be slacking off, or are you going to practice hard? And that's what I mean, where I think people can use it or not use it in different ways. For the Jets, and I think maybe quarterback, I'm not sure, but certainly for the Jets, you're going to have a season where you will be under the microscope. And if you get to the playoffs where you want to go, boy, there's going to be a lot of cameras.
Yeah.
So I think what they're doing is sort of embracing that and saying, okay, that's what it's going to be. Let's get used to it. Let's get used to those couple extra cameras at practice, because if we're going to be who we want to be, we need to learn to operate, whether there's film in the camera or not, whether people are watching or not. We need to always feel like we're operating at our best. And, you know, I think of Vince Lombardi all the time when I think of that.
That's an amazing story. I thought, Ken, you were going to say, you know, the end of that story was like, well, Steve found a way to get film all the way to Packers camp, you know, and, you know, by horseback or, you know, and the answer was he just pulled a gambit on Vince Lombardi. Or did Vince know?
Vince was in on the joke.
Oh, he was. Okay.
There was no film. The players didn't know. And Vince said, "I don't care whether there's film in the camera or not. Just point it at them because we're going to practice better." So Steve stood there like a dope all practice, acting like the camera was going, and, you know, he didn't have any film, and the players practiced harder. And Vince was smart enough to use that, and I know plenty of coaches that play those sort of mind games of, hey, how can I get a little more out of the players?
It's a good thing Bart started and asked to check the dailies, huh, Ken?
He didn't have approval over the cut.
Vince had final cut. Clearly.
That's right. You know.
Thanks for the call, Ken. I greatly appreciate it. We'll chat again soon. And I look forward to working with you with MGM Plus again on Icons. Looking forward to that this fall.
Absolutely. Always a great time talking with you.
Right back at you. That's Ken Rogers, executive producer of NFL Films. Hard Knocks debuts Tuesday night on HBO at 10 Eastern. And you can watch it on Roku on Max. What a story, huh?
Rich, I thought he was going to say, Vince said, "You have to come back tomorrow because I'm taking that tape."
You know what I mean? I didn't think the answer was, yeah. Steve just came back with no film in the camera, right?
That was not what I was expecting here.
Again, it always goes back to pop culture with me. Do you guys ever see Apocalypse Now?
Yeah, years ago.
No, say it again, Chris?
Long time ago.
Okay.
Not recently.
What about it, though?
Well, you know, the photographer at the end who's whacked out on LSD, mm-hmm. Played by, oh, God, you know, one of the, I start telling stories. He was the guy who played the drunk in Hoosiers. Why am I, he's one of the greatest
Dennis
of all time.
Dennis Hopper?
Yeah, Dennis Hopper. Yeah. Well, I just flew out of my head. Dennis Hopper was taking pictures with no film in the camera.
Oh.
He was just doing it to make Colonel Kurtz feel, you know, like he was documenting things. So,
That's a funny
Steve
story.
Sable was the Dennis Hopper of this situation. Unbelievable.
Vince Lombardi tells you to come back the next day, you come back the next day.
But the whole point is, the point of it is, it's interesting that he says that you, it's what you make of it, but the I don't think the players like Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence or the young players are saying, yeah, I think it's too much of a distraction. You heard Justin Herbert, I think he said it on Pat's show, that it's what you make it. It's either a distraction or it's not. Right. So Justin Herbert might be one who is agreeing to do it or thinking about doing it because he said that it's just a – but some kid like Justin Fields, like, you know, when people – when he's just coming off of an offseason where – conversation was, do you keep him or do you take Bryce Young and trade Justin Fields for a whole bunch of picks, or do you trade Bryce Young for a whole bunch of picks?
Yeah.
And he's going to come and say, yeah, I agree to have NFL Films cameras walk around. And then it'll be like, well, what's your priority, being famous or being good? As if you can't do both. And again, it's not like you're trying to be famous. Every single time you watch one of these shows that NFL Films produces, right? Hard Knocks, Inside the NFL, the show that I'm voicing, Icons, name it. Name all of it, okay? And you see Belichick mic'd up and the coaches mic'd up and the players mic'd up. It's not like, yeah, mic me up. I want to be famous. I want you to document me. No, NFL Films says, would you mind wearing it? And the player basically goes, sure, because I know you're not going to clown me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why. I guess players are like, no problem. Mic me up week four, week five, 2019 season or whatever. I'm cool with that. Mic me up for the Super Bowl. Mic me up for the championship game. Go ahead. And we as fans aren't going to view that as you're just trying to be famous. But the players are like, yeah, I can't have camera crews follow me specifically for a documentary about my experience full season. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it is.
I don't know if it's apples to oranges or apples to apples here, but
years ago, that's probably how it was looked at, right? But we're in a whole new world now where social media, where you're documenting everything on your phone. I'm sure there is some old school thought that that's the case. But these kids, like he said, you're 22 years old, Chris. You've never not recorded yourself doing something.
Doing everything.
Right. So,
but I guess in this day and age that we all want to know, are you doing it this year? Last year, we didn't even know that they were doing it until it came out.
Right. Also, I think some of these players should recognize how popular this series is, and it's also a chance to kind of elevate themselves a little bit if they do have a great year. I mean, Josh Allen is the biggest name right now. He's not committed, but he is reportedly thinking about it.
Or he has committed, and we just don't know. You want to keep it tight.
And also, like he said, I think Ken just said, if you do this, quarterbacks, you got a 1 in 3 chance of winning the Super Bowl. I think I would take that. Right? I would take that.
Yeah,
he's got the ultimate pushback. Mahomes did it. He won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and then the ultimate pushback to that is he's Mahomes.
True, but
let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Overreaction Monday, people.
Yeah.
Here we go. Don't go anywhere. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning, drink it in the afternoon, before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen. Look, Every person and every night's different, but no matter who you are, you want to live up to your full potential. And when you sleep on a Sleep Number smart bed, quality sleep makes it easier to reach your unique potential no matter what each night brings. You know when you wake up after a bad night's sleep, you are not yourself. That does not happen with Sleep Number. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference, especially because couples can choose their ideal firmness, comfort, and support on each side of the bed, so it's perfect for both of you. Go for it, folks. Go for it. Sleep next level. Unlock your unique potential with a smart bed that can perform as well as you. And now, don't miss Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Get on it. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. See store for details. Can you tell me the story, the famous story of you noticing John Candy in the crowd before that two-minute drill to the Bengals?
Harris Barton was a people person, so yes. We were free for dinner during the week, but you know, practice and meetings, and then come back after dinner and more meetings. So when he would come back from dinner, he was like a little kid. He could not wait to tell you about all the celebrities he saw while he was at dinner. And so we were just standing there, and between the tight end and his shoulder was framed John Candy.
And in the crowd.
He was on the sideline.
Oh, he's on the sideline.
And so I sat there and I looked and I go, dang, I don't remember Harris saying he saw John Candy.
This is what you're thinking in the Super Bowl with minutes to go and needing to drive down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So I walked over and said, hey, man, there's John Candy. And Harris stood like this for 8 minutes, perfectly still. He was a little bit anal that way. He would not move. He was like little. I didn't do it to unwind him. I just thought he would appreciate seeing John Candy.
Did you ever meet Candy, or that was the only time?
Yeah, no, I had met John a few years before that. My contract was up.
Okay.
And he was, one of the owners of the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
He was trying to get me to go to Canada.
Come on.
Yeah. They just didn't have enough money.
But if the price was right,
I might have been wearing an Argonaut.
You'd have a 55-yard line. You'd be like, I'll do that. So he legitimately said,
Yeah, we had a couple meetings about it. Yeah.
You did. So this is real. Like, it wasn't oh, by the way.
No.
Wow. I love that. All in our YouTube archives, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Please go check it out at Rich Eisen Show. Also, all of our social media handles. The Rich Eisen Show desk I'm sitting at right now, furnished by Grainger. It supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's take a quick phone call before getting to Overreaction Monday. Jim in Port Charlotte, Florida, has been hanging on for well over an hour. What's up, Jim? You there, Jim?
I'm here.
What's up, Jim?
I'm going to pass on a thought process here on all this college thing. The
sure.
SEC, I think, will end up with 20 teams. They're going to have four, and the four teams they'll add are going to bring with them seven national championships. So you're looking at a very close-knit region. It'll be four different regions, broken down five teams in each region. There'll be the West, where you got Texas, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Texas A&M, Arkansas, and LSU. Then the South, and this is the biggest change, the South region, they're going to add Miami University.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have Florida, Florida State, Clemson, and Georgia. One heck of a region, isn't it?
Well, so you're saying, just the four teams you say they're going to add is Miami, Florida State, and Clemson.
And who's North Carolina.
And North Carolina.
Will be the fourth team. They'll bring four teams in from the ACC.
Thank you for the call, Jim. I greatly appreciate it. Could you imagine if there is a southern region, Georgia, Florida, Miami, Florida State, and who's the fifth one that he threw in there?
UNC, right?
No, but in the South region.
Because
you got to keep Ole Miss and Mississippi State together, right? And you put Alabama in that one, and then
Yeah, so that's the East, and then.
And then Clemson goes in with Carolina.
Wow.
And Vanderbilt. They get Vanderbilt, right? And Tennessee.
So Alabama would be in the West then.
No, Alabama would probably be in whatever, I don't know, East. I have no idea what he's breaking it down as.
Because there's Oklahoma, Texas.
That's the whole
Texas,
point.
A&M,
again, ACC better, they better figure out whatever their situation is. Because he's not wrong.
Wow.
The fourth one in, if it's Carolina, it will be a battle for that last life raft on the ACC ACC Titanic.
Reaching for it.
So can you imagine you put Miami, Florida, and Florida State in the same conference? You know, that's the win.
Florida, Georgia, Tennessee.
Can you imagine, TJ, if that happens?
Wow.
I can imagine anything at this point.
Yep.
Who's the Jack reaching up to Rose and then just sinks off into the sea because there wasn't enough room, even though there was enough, yeah.
Syracuse?
We're not good enough at football.
Pittsburgh?
Man, I don't know. That's crazy.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Monday. You ready? You need to hit it right here. Overreaction Monday. Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All righty, then. Let's go for it, Christopher.
What's up, guys? Everybody good?
Hey, we're good.
Chris.
Yeah, we're good.
Hi, Chris.
So this is like the last one where I'm not really reacting to any games being played.
That's right.
So we're just kind of still pulling stuff out of the air based on...
But we're so close to preseason games.
That's like, what I mean.
We're learning who's playing, who might not be.
We know who's struggling maybe perhaps in some of these camps with the reports down in Tampa that Baker's throwing picks left and right. Kyle Trask is starting week one for the Bucks.
That's an overreaction. Bucks are going to start Baker Mayfield. End of story.
Seven picks and nine practices.
Okay,
Rich.
Great.
Just to do a quick math, that percentage is what? 77%? Not good. Not good.
Chris, it's all about, in things like this, is if you're a head coach, which is easiest to go with one and then pull the plug on? Which is easiest? Which makes sense.
The guy you drafted.
Or the guy who's in waiting. Baker Mayfield is the one to start as opposed to passing over because he had such a poor training camp with picks.
Struggling.
Got it. Even Drew Bledsoe started over Brady despite Brady apparently having the best camp out of all quarterbacks.
Come on, not the same. One guy was the number one overall pick that you drafted and gave $100 million to.
Got it, too. So it's easier to go with that guy and then maybe not. I'm trying my best to plug these two in together in a way that you would understand that to start with Kyle Trask and then have him not work and go, oh, we'll go with the veteran Baker. We didn't go with you because you lost the preseason competition and we're all about making sure those who compete better get the opportunity to start. No, this one is a thumb on the scale. It's Baker Mayfield. And then if he doesn't perform well in 1-3, then you pull the plug, you go with Kyle Trask. And if that doesn't work, you got a better shot at Caleb Williams. That's the path. You're overreacting. What else, Chris? What else?
Hall of Fame this past weekend. Another great job by you and everyone involved at the Hall. I saw some comments from Micah Parsons saying he doesn't just want to be a Hall of Famer. He wants to be the top of the top Hall of Famers.
Yes.
He's going to have a Hall of Fame season behind his 20-plus sacks this year. Cowboys win the NFC.
Let me tell you something about Micah Parsons. And the numbers you just put up there.
I like where your head's at.
And what you just said about Micah Parsons. There is no overreacting to Micah Parsons. He is incredible. He is generationally brilliant.
He's game-wrecking practices right now.
I'm telling you, Andrew Whitworth is on tomorrow's program. I recorded the top 10 reveal of the top 100 list that debuts on NFL Plus tonight and airs on NFL Network on Thursday. Andrew had Micah Parsons over to his house for dinner. We're going to leave the rest of the story to Andrew to tell on tomorrow's program. The thing he told me is that he was at Cowboys practice and heard as well. They had to pull Micah Parsons off the field so the offense could practice. Did you hear what Daniel Jeremiah said earlier on, how he's wrecking things?
Yeah.
They basically had to say, Micah,
hey, calm down.
We got to get our reps in here on offense. It's just as important we get our reps in on offense as well. So, 20-plus sacks. Tu salud, sir. That is a proper reaction. I. What am I going to sit here and say? No way. Get out of here. That guy's, congrats, dude. You got on defense the type of player that you want to get drafted in your quarterback.
Yep.
But good enough. And quarterback of your defense.
And remember, before the draft, congrats. I predicted the Cowboys were going to.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, thank you.
He's so good.
Well, it's a little bit of your Penn State bias, too. Look, you also saw him. Hey, look, the guy didn't even play in his last year in college.
I didn't see him that much.
Maybe that's why he fell. Good job out of you and your Cowboys, and that is a proper reaction. What else you got over there, Chris?
Thinking about the NFC, Rich, and who had the best record last year, the Eagles, the Vikings were a surprise. Talent wins out. This team has so much talent, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback. The 49ers, best record NFC.
I can't discount it. How are you going to say that's an overreaction?
Purdy, Darnold,
dude, they
Lance.
Make the NFC Championship game starting Lance and then needing Garoppolo.
Montana right now at age 60.
You know?
He's fourth on the depth chart.
They make an NFC Championship game with Garoppolo when you don't expect them having Garoppolo. And then they make it with Purdy when Garoppolo goes down. I mean, get out of here.
So basically it doesn't matter who their quarterback is?
Well, I mean, they're going to end up paying Bosa and he'll get out there.
And
that defense is... I mean, Dallas and San Francisco, you heard again DJ saying Dallas has a shot to have the best defense in the league. Dallas and San Francisco is a Sunday night or week five.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of people sitting there saying, you know, you're allowed to flex out of the Sunday night games as early as week five. And Jets Broncos with what Sean Payton had to say about Nathaniel Hackett. NBC's like, yeah, you know what we're going to do?
Flex out of a
Cowboys
game.
Flex into the Nathaniel Hackett blood sport rivalry game. By flexing out of San Francisco and Dallas. Nah, that one's going to be great. Can't wait. So I totally hear you. The Eagles are obviously in the mix for having the best record in the conference. So you could say that about Dallas, too, and maybe there'll be a surprise team. So you can't discount San Francisco. What else, Chris?
Speaking of defense, my Pats have a good defense. Matthew Judon got his contract
taken care of. Yes, he did.
He is a happy, happy man. Top five defense. Pats are winning at least 10 games. Come on, guys.
All right, now that's an overreaction. Let me ask you this.
Get on board.
Why didn't Bill O'Brien say Mac Jones is the starting quarterback no matter what, and he starts talking about how good Bailey Zappe is? What happened there? I was out of the chair last Friday.
Does it matter?
You and I crossed like two ships last week.
What?
You wanted to give me crap for my hamburger-buying coach, and I wanted to give you crap for your offensive coordinator who's finally got the title. Refusing to give Mac Jones like he's not the starting quarterback of this
because
team. What are we doing?
Watch the videos and what are we doing? The reports. It's obvious who the starter is. So what does it matter?
Titles matter. Titles matter to people.
To who?
To people.
Probably
who
not.
Receive
probably
the
not
titles.
Mac Jones.
Okay.
He knows he's a starter.
Got it.
Rich, I don't want to be the kind of person who gets stitches and end up in ditches, but there was a lot, and I mean a lot of jet slander in the studio on Friday.
I'm sure.
Let me tell you.
What I'm sure the person sitting over in that desk.
Yeah,
by
I mean,
the way.
Like I said, I don't want to be the
Susie stitch. And him are like two assholes in the same pod.
I'll just say it. Susie may have kicked off most of the jet
slander. No, I hear you. I live with her.
I
was just cleaning up at the show.
The crazy thing is, I leave her to go hang out with him, and then I leave him to go hang out with her.
You don't get a break, bro.
He doesn't. Deserve a break. He roots for the Jets.
Overreaction, pal. Overreaction. You might get it, but as of this moment, 10 wins now? Okay.
Top five defense, though. I mean, they're going to be good.
What else?
It's already bad in Las Vegas, guys. You see what Devontae Adams said?
No.
Not happy that Josh Jacobs isn't here. If Jacobs doesn't come back, it's going to get ugly real fast for the Raiders. Devontae Adams trade, top five pick next year, real bad.
I can't overreact to that, except to say it's still first week of August. Tomorrow's the second week. Ask me tomorrow. But right now, no, seriously, we're right on the edge. We're right there. We're right there. You know, holdouts, let's see how long he holds out. See if he holds out into the season. Like Emmett back in the day. And then we'll see. We'll see. What a big game at Denver to start the season. I don't blame Devontae Adams. I come here. I come here for my college room teammate.
He's gone.
And now I'm here watching Rodgers living his best life in New York City.
Acting all
right?
happy.
Talking about his new number 17. Yeah. He's got a great chance to win the Super Bowl. I'm out here trying to bust my ass. And one of our best players is not coming in from the cold. So, right there, though. I'll just go. It's a veraction right now. It's an overreaction, but it's a veraction. What else, Chris? You got one more?
Last one. Jamar Chase is like, look, I understand, Joe. We need you healthy for the end of the season.
Yes, sir.
He says, it's fine if you come back week 5. I think that's cool. Because even if Joe Burrow sits the first 4 weeks, Bengals are still winning the AFC North.
You know what? That's not an overreaction. And let me just say this. You know what the overreaction was? I'm sorry. I'll use this platform. I'm going to take a little page from you. And you'll have to let me know where on the petty scale this ranks.
Okay, gotcha.
The Rich Eisen Show petty scale where this ranks. But remember, I took a screen grab of the first 4 weeks of the Bengals' schedule 2 weekends ago when this happened, and I'm like, if several weeks somehow bleeds into the first month of the season, this is the way the season starts for Cincinnati. And I got the pushback from Bengals fans, like, do the math! 6 weeks from now is several weeks. It's week one. Oh, okay. So now the number one receiver is telling the quarterback several weeks should bleed into the first 4 weeks of the season. And we got it from here. Oh, okay. So Jamar Chase thinks at Cleveland, home for Baltimore, home for Rams, at Tennessee, they got this. And he should take 10 weeks to come back from this thing. And by the way, he's not wrong.
I mean, they're 2-2 at worst.
So I say, thumbs up, Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
I get it. You're marathoning. Because this guy sure shouldn't be sprinting right now. So, you know, he's overreacting. With the Bengals fans coming at me on X. And by that, I mean Twitter.
Twitter, thank you.
I don't think that was petty at all.
You don't think so?
Nah.
Fantastic. Nah, that's just petty for me to respond to tweets.
Nah.
That's not even Lori or
Kyle. I'm sure they're like people with like 40 followers.
But they have a blue check mark.
Who say that they're really religious but use the worst language.
Right.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good job on Overreaction Monday to everyone here in the studio.
We're back.
When we come back, TJ has a fun list for one of our new radio affiliates.
Just welcome them.
Yeah. And then, of course, we'll talk about the hard knocks that happened in Dallas in the ring, and then in Chicago in the middle of a diamond.
Weird crew.
That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
So, Nick, before our radio on its return, you just want to, what was your impressions of the fight that you went to?
It was such a great event. Zach Rosenfield, obviously our guy, helped put it on, along with Jake Paul's promotion team. And it was awesome. Sold out arena in Dallas. The pay-per-view buys were through the roof. And the energy inside there was nothing I've seen in a long time of an indoor event like that. And the fight was great. Jake kind of dominated from the start, which, you know, the better the line was that way. He kind of expected it. And it seems like there's going to be a rematch with some sort of MMA element. This was Nate Diaz's first professional boxing experience. You know, he's a legendary MMA guy, UFC. But the Jake Paul stuff is real. The guy really knows how to promote. He entered the arena on
a tank. Yeah, I saw that.
You know,
tank.
And he had some giant robot that looked like the Fox robot with him. And it was just a wild scene. There were some fights on the floor and in the hallway. And just the energy in the building was there. And it kind of met the moment. The women's matches beforehand were awesome. The undercard was well done. And we had a great time. It was really cool to see.
Okay. You concur?
Yeah, that was awesome. Weird crew.
The weird crew.
Hashtag weird crew.
You should send us everywhere. Just cover events for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Rich Eisen Show.
I have a family, man. I can't be going all these
about to say.
I can't be going to these weird places.
Right. It's for work,
just Chris, Adam and I, then.
Chris, you want to provide for that family?
If you want to do it, you just look at the ceiling and say there's mold everywhere, and you pay for it.
Yeah. Did I mold you?
But it was cool to be there for Zach and really support him. This is his first time putting on a big-time event like this.
Yes.
They all crushed it. It was wild.
Oh, great. Terrific.
Weird crew.
Glad to hear it.
Weird crew.
All right. So that's the latest on that big fight over the weekend. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Jake Paul and Nate Diaz fought. Chris just gave an interesting breakdown as he went, along with Felly and Adam Chedwin of our show. And I honestly didn't think that the biggest first fight of the day that would take over social media would occur at a baseball game.
Right.
But Tim Anderson apparently has a penchant for slapping hard tags on anybody coming into second base, and Jose Ramirez had enough. It appears that Ramirez had told Tim Anderson to quit that. Apparently he was barking at one of their rookies as well earlier in the game. And Ramirez goes in head first, and Anderson tagged him, and I guess it hit him in the head. And Ramirez didn't like it. And then Anderson took the attack posture.
Time to go.
Put up his dukes,
yeah.
Right?
Time to go.
And the second base umpire realized he didn't have the Mills Lane in him, so he got out.
That was amazing.
He got
He's
out.
Like, no.
Yeah, this isn't hockey. I'm not, I'm out.
That was the best part.
Protect yourself.
I'm not
going to
get
times.
In there. And usually these things are all like, I'm threatening to hit you, and then I'll back off and then not really hit you.
Nobody gets hit, Rich.
Tim Anderson threw.
He did.
And then twice. Jose Ramirez, seeming to be separated at the moment that he just threw a right hand that hit Anderson directly in the jaw.
On the button.
And knocked him out.
Well,
put him to sleep.
The ground woke him up when he
down goes Frazier.
Well, I mean, the call, down goes Anderson.
On the radio call is amazing.
Right?
I mean, just boomf.
I believe it's Tom Hamilton who calls the action locally for the Guardians.
All right, Hamilton.
And he screams, down goes Anderson, down goes Anderson. That goes viral.
A video of him wobbly getting carried off. He looked like Tom Brady at the Super Bowl parade.
And then, bench is clear. But, even it's amazing with the rare instance. I guess this was the biggest fight since Rougned Odor and went at it.
Joey Bats.
With Joey Bats.
Yeah.
Jose Bautista. And this is like a real one. Even with a real one. You see, coming out of the pen. I'm coming. Here I am. I'm running.
Rich, I think
that should get those players suspended on the spot. Just for the fact that they are now running 300 feet to add more human beings to this morass. Okay? And even worse, they're not even running fast. Like, what are you doing?
Why are you going out there?
What are you doing?
Also,
if you're not running, honestly, they ran out to this fight like it was Giancarlo Stanton trying to score from second.
Oh, come on.
Rich, don't get me started.
Am I mistaken, too? I saw a shot.
Do not get me started.
They had to run downstairs. Is the bullpen elevated or something? Because I saw a shot of guys running down some stairs.
I saw that.
So maybe go downstairs and then try.
And then here I come. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, gosh. Oh, I just saw it. My guy got just knocked out, but I'm almost there. Hold on a minute. Oh, you're separated. Hold on. I'm almost there. Here I come.
You got knocked out.
Just don't even try. Don't even try. It's like Brockman reaching for the check. Don't even try.
I'm a celebrity, Rich.
He didn't have a chance to,
unbelievable.
Rich. It was already taken care of.
So there's going to be suspensions coming out, but you should suspend every single person that ran like half speed out of the pen. Oh, I'm almost there. Keep fighting. I'll be there. All right. In honor of our new affiliate, 101.9 FM and 1260 AM The Horn in Austin, Texas. You've put a little list together?
Yeah,
what do you got?
Rich, well, I want to welcome them to the family.
What do you got?
And just show them some love. So I decided to come up with a TJ's top 10 list.
What do you got?
My all-time favorite Austins.
Okay.
Since they're in Austin, Texas.
Okay. You got something? Can you whip through it?
Let's go real quick. Jay Felly, hit my music. All right, so you know at number 10, we got singer-songwriter Austin Mahomes. You know, I don't know much about him, but I know he's got 2.5 million Spotify listeners. He's got 9 million on X and 12 million on Instagram, so I'm going to put him at 10. Number 9, we got the Lakers point guard Austin Reed.
That's not bad.
He just got a 4-year, $56 million contract for his 13-3-3 season. Not bad. Austin Eckler, Los Angeles Chargers running back, 1,600 total yards and 18 touchdowns last year. Number 7, we got Austin Theory, WWE U.S. champion. We got Austin Butler. You might know him as Elvis. He was a hero of the most. Denise Austin.
Remember
her at ESPN back in the day?
ESPN
with Denise
fitness.
Austin. Come on now.
Dude, that's back when I was on ESPN. That was the fitness.
Man. Yeah, more man. Music producer Dallas Austin. So if you like TLC, Pink, Monica and Brandy, Boys the Men, Dion Sanders even, Michael Jackson or Gwen Stefani, then Dallas Austin has produced or written songs for all of them, so you can thank him for that.
Okay.
Coming in at number 3, gentlemen, he was an astronaut, a man barely alive, but gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. That is Colonel Steve Austin, the $6 million man. He deserves to be on the list. And number 2, this guy was frozen for 30 years before he got thawed out and put the grr in Swinger, baby. Yeah. Do I make you Randy, baby? That's Austin Powers.
Okay.
International
and who's number 1?
And number 1, come on, you can kind of figure out who number 1 is when it comes to me. Number
Stone
1,
Cold.
He's been stomping mud holes and walking them dry for years. He's a friend of the show. He's the Texas Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
This is what happens when...
This is what happens
when you hop on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Chat on Tuesday.
Give me a hell yeah.
For over 3 decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.